How are y'all doing? I left my iPad way over there. I was like, there is no way I can gracefully do that. Just gonna go grab it. Well, it was welcome to have you guys. I just want to also remind you guys that after this service, there will be a business meeting to vote on some stuff that we talked about last business meeting. So please stay for that. It'll be quick. There's not gonna be a lot of new information. It's gonna be a lot of just voting, get it done, and then get it out of the way. So, we're going to start off today doing something I don't or have not done. Okay, I've done this before in my life, but not here. I'm going to give you a phone number. Put that phone number up there. Got it? Okay, there we go. So, this is a Google number. So, if you have a question during this message about what we're talking about, you can actually text into this number, and at the end I'm going to look at that and I'm going to try to answer a few that come through if I have any. So I'm just going to make this available because, guys, I don't want this to be a one-way communication, you know? I want this to be a two-way where I can help you guys understand some of this stuff. So I can kind of guess what you guys' question is going to be and try that, but it's even better for me if you guys can give me feedback and say, hey, I don't get this. I don't really understand what's happening. Now, as a pastor, I cannot promise you that I will know the answer to every question that is asked, okay? But at least try, and then I'll go figure out the answer for you if I don't know it right off the bat. So, also, I may not get to every question, because if there's a lot of them, I only have a certain amount of time. So, that's there. That number will also be up on a lot of the slides, so just keep that in mind as I'm going through this lesson. So, we're working our way through Genesis. There's a lot in Genesis. Again, this is kind of the foundation of the Bible. This is where it all started, and this is God bringing his people into existence, really. It's how did the Israelites actually begin? So, we just got through the flood, and we've got Noah in this post-flood world. Okay, and what does that look like? It's very, very different than the world before. Okay, the world before had plentiful, vegetation, had plentiful animals. The animals actually got along with people. It's like there was no fear from the animals. So it was a very different world. And then all of a sudden, Noah finds himself in this place that is a struggle to survive. Okay, God said you can eat the animals, but then he said the animals are going to be scared of you, so they're going to run away, right? Okay, well, thanks, God. You could have made it a little easier. Yeah, but, God actually wanted the animals to survive, too. So there was this kind of give and take kind of thing there. So we ended up last week kind of coming into Genesis chapter 9. And verse 18 is where we're going to start today. And it says, now the sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated. So first of all, there's this weird phrase right in the middle of that. It says, Ham was the father of Canaan. Why was that interjected? And we need to understand that as we're going through the Bible. What is Canaan? What is the big deal? And why is this in this account? Well, Canaan was the promised land. Okay, and who's writing this? This is Moses collecting all these things together and putting it into a book so that people could see the history of his people. And what is Moses primarily concerned with? He's leading his people where? To the promised land, okay? And the promised land is Canaan. So when he's reviewing this history, he's saying, hey, Ham was the father of Canaan. Canaan was the guy that went and established this land. And where is this? Okay, so you have this big map of the world. It's coming. Got that slide. Okay, here's a map of the world. And what we see is we have a distribution of what they think the children of Noah did. Well, you have this kind of red area, and this is Shem, and all Shem kind of moved towards the southeast, right? And then Ham kind of took over most of Africa and some of the Arabian Peninsula there. And then you've got Japheth up there. So Ham kind of takes over this spot. And if you zoom in, if you keep going into this little spot right here, you get this. And this is really a picture of that Mediterranean Middle East area. And in it, you have Canaan. And Canaan is this little strip right next to the Mediterranean Sea. And we spend a lot of time in this area when you're talking about the Bible, because this is where Israel is. Right now, they're fighting in Israel. And this is the location they're fighting in. If you look at find the Mediterranean Sea, they are fighting over this area. And they have been for centuries. Okay, this has been fought over and fought over and fought over. And that's biblical. The Bible tells us that's going to happen. Okay, but this is the promised land. And if you zoom in further, this is what that area looks like. And if you ever want to find it, you just find the Dead Sea on the map. And then you follow the River Jordan up to the Sea of Galilee. And that's kind of one of the main things you're looking for when you're trying to find this area of Canaan. But for the Israelites, this was at the time that Moses is writing this, this is the promised land. And Noah doesn't know it at the time, but Ham's son, Canaan, is going to establish the nations that were there before Israel came in and took it over. Because Israel did not come from Canaan. Okay, Israel came from Shem's line. Okay, so that's what we see, and I just wanted to give you kind of that historical context there so you understand where we are in the world and where we're kind of focusing. But it is very important that they mention that, and you'll see it mentioned over and over again. Hey, this is Canaan, right? So in Genesis 9:20, it says, Then Noah began farming and planted a vineyard. He drank of the wine and became drunk and uncovered himself inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and walked backwards and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were turned away so that they did not see their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his wine, he knew what his youngest son had done. So here we have Noah, the mighty man of God who saved the human race really by his following God from the flood and the destruction of man. Because he followed God, God spared this person. And then he gets off the boat and he gets to a point in his life where he's got enough time to say, hey, I want to make some wine, okay? I'm going to plant a vineyard. Okay, that means he probably had his other basic needs met, right? And a lot of times in life, we get there, we get to the point where, you know, everything's going good. I got some free time. What am I going to do with my free time? Well, Noah gets drunk, right? And when we look at, you know, drinking in general, and I want to talk about this a little bit because this gets a lot of people in trouble. I don't know if you know anybody personally that has gotten in trouble because maybe they drank a little bit too much wine. Okay, but, you know, I do. I have a lot of friends, especially when I was in high school, that basically drunk themselves out of college. They went to college and they didn't make it. Why? Because they spent more time partying and drinking. The Bible is very, very explicit on this subject. And I know there's been a lot of different takes on drinking in the church. And I want to give you my take. Okay? I do not think it is ungodly to drink alcohol, okay? But what I do know 100% is that it is ungodly and it is sinful to get drunk, okay? The Bible is very clear about that. Habakkuk 2 says in verse 15, "Woe to you who make your neighbors drink, who mix in your venom, even to make them drunk so as to look on their nakedness. You will be filled with disgrace rather than honor. Now you yourself drink and expose your own nakedness. The cup in the Lord's right hand will come around to you, and utter disgrace will come upon you, your glory." So what does alcohol do? Alcohol basically exposes us because it takes away our inhibitions, and we say things and we do things that when our rational brain is in control, we wouldn't typically do. Right? And God doesn't want that. He wants us to have a spirit of self-control. Right? And when you drink and you get drunk, you have lost that spirit. Okay, Ephesians 5 verse 15 says, "Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." So there's a drunk with wine, filled with the Spirit, okay? Two opposite ends of the spectrum, right? The Spirit does not bring drunkenness and confusion. It brings wisdom and order. That's what God's Spirit does all the time. Okay? It says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. If you want to have a good time, that's what we do, right? We praise God. We sing together like we did. I love the songs we sang today. Those are my songs. I start like throwing in my songs, you know? Y'all been seeing some creeping in to the mix, right? Okay, this was a song of my heart this week, was God really loves us. I'm like, wow, what an amazing thing that God really loves us. But that's what God wants us to spend our time doing. So again, can you drink? Yes. But if you cannot control your drink so that you don't get drunk, you need to stop drinking. Period. We avoid evil. We avoid temptation. I personally do not do this because I've seen it destroy too many of my friends' lives. But I'm not going to sit in judgment if somebody has, you know, a glass of wine at a meal. That is not for me to judge. That is between them and God. But for certain, at the end of that meal, if they're sitting there stumbling out of the restaurant, I'm going to say, hey, maybe you had a little bit too much and maybe you need to work on that. Because that's what God's called us to do, right? So that's my feelings on that. But Noah gets in trouble here. And again, maybe he had a tough day, you know? Maybe, you know, the crazy post-flood world was getting on him. He's like, man, this is just hard. You know, I got to hunt for my food now. I got to find these crazy animals that are hiding all over the place. I mean, there's not as much vegetation anymore. I can't just go pick stuff and eat it. I'm just going to get drunk, you know? Maybe that was Noah. I don't know. But maybe he just slipped and just, you know, took a little bit too much. But for whatever reason, he's sitting there lying naked in his tent. And here comes his son. You know, sons are always great, right? You know, they always do the right thing, right? Yeah. And he's like, hey, look, dad's in the tent. You know, he's drunk, man. And he's naked. He's like sitting there on the floor totally naked. He goes out and he tells his brothers. He's like, hey, you should go look. You know, I mean, have you ever been there? Like, get excited about other people's misfortune. And this is his dad. And, you know, this today doesn't sound as bad as it was back then. Okay, it sounds bad, but it doesn't sound as bad as it would have been back then because the culture is very different. Okay? So, Japheth and Shem refuse to take part in that. Right? So, when somebody comes up and asks us, hey, let's do something sinful, it's going to be fun, the response should be this. No, I'm not going to take part in that. I got something better to do. And what do? They take this cover and they walk backwards into the tent so that they do not see this thing that their brother is harping about and cover their father. How amazing is that? No. In the Garden of Eden, what did God do for Adam and Eve when they felt shame? When they faced shame, God covered them, didn't he? He made clothes for them. So here these brothers are really stepping in for God and covering their father's shame. So my question to you guys is, do we cover each other's shame? You know, as a Christian body, as a church, do we think through these things and how we react when people sin and people do things? Because let me tell you what 2 Corinthians 12 says. There's a way to react that is not godly. And this is, it says in verse 20, "For I am afraid that perhaps when I come and I may find you to be not what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish, that perhaps there will be strife." Okay? There will be jealousy. There will be angry. There'll be tempers. There'll be disputes, slander, gossip, arrogance, which is going to cause what? Disturbances. So this is what we see, is we're not covering each other's shame. That's what you see, right? You see jealousy, anger, slander, gossip. This is Ham coming out of the tent, right? It's like, ooh, look. Ted's drunk. Let's go see it. It's funny, right? This is someone who's gossiping, who's enjoying the shame of others. And sometimes, maybe it's your boss at work, maybe it's somebody you just, you know, you don't like, and something bad happens to them, and you're like, oh, I'm glad they got what they got, right? But that's not the heart of God. It's to rejoice in other people's shame. And as Christians, we need to be covering other people's shame. And that doesn't mean ignoring it. That doesn't mean covering it up. But it means reacting to it in the appropriate way. Okay? This is a big difference, right? So, also, what's going on here is the fact that God wants us to honor our parents. And this is, you know, when you look at Exodus 20:12, it says, this is a 10 commandment, one of the 10 things God says. This is really important. Remember these. "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you." Okay, this is one of the 10 commandments, is to honor your father and mother. And here Ham is dishonoring his father, trying to bring dishonor on his father. This is the opposite of honoring. This is pointing out and saying, hey, look at Dad, he's stupid. Right? So we have this in the mix too. And back in that culture, honoring your father was a very important thing. And we've lost that in this culture. And I know some of you guys, y'all say, you don't know my father. Yeah, I get that. You can't always do what your father is telling you to do, but you can live in a way that honors him, regardless of whether or not he knows what that way should be. If you live your life uprightly, and you're always responding to cover shame and not, you know, amplify it, then you are honoring your parents. Because people look at you and say, oh gosh, his parents must be good. That's how we live, to honor our parents when our parents are not honorable. But this society has really fought that. In fact, our society teaches youth to rebel against their parents. Your parents are stupid. They don't know what they should know. So, you know, you ignore them and you do what's right. Right? You do what we think you should do. And we've lost that. And we see this here. But we understand that God wants us to honor our parents. And that's something else that's going, so much going on in what happened here. People are like, it's no big deal. He just kind of laughed because he was naked. It was a big deal. It was a huge deal. He was bringing dishonor to his father. And not if you bring dishonor to your father in that time, you also bring dishonor to your family, your entire family. So again, at that time, it was a huge thing. So in Genesis 9:25, this is Noah's response. "Cursed be to Canaan, a servant of servants, he shall be to his brothers." Now, who's Canaan in all this? So everybody's like, well, where did Canaan come from? Well, Canaan is Ham's son. And we already learned that in the beginning, right? He is the father of this nation. And here we have Noah here. Instead of bringing a blessing upon his son, he brings a curse upon his line and his lineage. Okay? And this is powerful. This is powerful when you speak out against your kids' fathers. When you speak into their lies, there's power behind that. We need to recognize that. There's power both ways. If you speak curses on your kids, those things can happen. And in these blessings and these curses, there's a prophetic nature when we look at the Bible. You know, this is the first time that we see one of the fathers blessing a son. And there's a prophetic nature to that because those blessings actually came true. And I don't know if that's because God revealed it or because God was honoring what the parent was saying. I don't know which one of that was, but regardless, there's power in it, and we've got to recognize where the power is. So here we have a curse. Well, it wasn't Canaan's fault. Well, listen, you think about this. If Ham's messed up, that's going to come into his family, isn't it? That's a curse into his family. If he's bringing that attitude and if he's bringing that kind of behavior into his family, that is going to have ripples. It's going to have consequences. And Noah sees this. And so we have this curse. And I just want to stop here for a second. Can you put up the next slide? This used to be a thing a lot of preachers said. And I just want to stop and say this is 100% incorrect. Okay? It used to say that Canaan was the father of black people from Africa. And that because of that, they were supposed to be slaves. People used the Bible to defend slavery, and they did it incorrectly. Yes, sir. I just want to say that right now, because we need to set the record straight when we hit this, because there's still Baptist preachers and Methodist preachers and Presbyterian preachers today that still believe somehow that Canaan was the father of the African American race. Okay? That's not true. It's historically, it's not true. So this has nothing at all to do with the slave trade in the 1800s. But just to let you know what was going on, Patrick Mell was the fourth president of the Southern Baptist Convention. And this is what he said. He said, From Ham were descended the nations that occupied the land of Canaan and those that now constitute the African or Negro race. Their inheritance, according to prophecy, has been and will continue to be slavery. So long as we have the Bible, we expect to maintain it. How horrible somebody has to be to use this and to say these kinds of things. Okay? We know where Canaan settled, okay? Canaan settled in Israel, okay? That's why we have the land of Canaan, right? His many other brothers, did go into Africa, but it was not Canaan, okay? So you cannot say this curse has anything at all to do with African American people or anything to do with the slave trade at all. So I just wanted to set that straight. Because we need to, when we look at the Bible, we need to research a little deeper than what we always hear. And I always encourage you guys, what you hear from me, you go research it, okay? Because people say things wrong, and I wanted to set this correct. We are a Southern Baptist church, right? We do not believe this. Okay, and we haven't believed it for a long time, at least this church for sure. Okay, so I just wanted to, that's a little soapbox I wanted to get in. Because the descendants of Canaan did not populate southern Africa. Okay, I was talking about the Y chromosome stuff. We know where the migration went. Okay? We know where people ended up. Okay? And it's not like people used to say. And again, why did they say that? Because they wanted to rationalize what they were doing.
Yes, sir.
That's why they said it. They wanted to sin. It's the same reason people rationalize why they drink or why they, you know, have sex outside of marriage. It's the same thing. It's like, let me find something in the Bible that I can hang my hat on, and usually they make it up so that I can do what I want to do. So what is the curse? What do we see? Leviticus 18:3. This is a description of the people in the land of Canaan that God says don't be like them. Okay? Is that don't be like these people. And I just want you to see what the father did carried into what his ancestors did. It says, you shall not do, this is in verse 3, Leviticus 18, you shall not do what is done in the land of Egypt where you lived, nor are you to do what is done in the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You are to perform my judgments and keep my statutes, to live in according with them. Accord with them. I am the Lord your God. So you shall keep my statutes and my judgments, by which a man may live if he does live, if he does them. I am the Lord. None of you shall approach any blood relative of his to uncover nakedness. I am, this is what they were doing. Okay, so when I'm reading these things, don't do this. This is what they were doing in Canaan. Right? It says, you shall not uncover the nakedness of your father. That is the nakedness of your mother. In other words, your father and mother are one, right? Okay? She is your mother. You are not to uncover her nakedness. This is what they were doing in Canaan, right? And when you say uncover nakedness, what does that mean? It's a precursor to having sexual relationships with them, right? You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's wife. It is your father's nakedness. The nakedness of your sister either. Either your father's daughter or your mother, your daughter, mother's daughter, whether born at home or born outside, their nakedness you shall not uncover. The nakedness of your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, think about what they're doing. Their nakedness you shall not uncover, for their nakedness is yours. The nakedness of your father's wife's daughter, born to your father, she is your sister. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's sister. She is your father's blood relative. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister, for she is your mother's blood relative. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's brother. You shall not approach his wife. She is your aunt. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your daughter-in-law. She is your son's wife. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your brother's wife. It is your brother's nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of a woman and of her daughter. It's the same person. Come think about what they're doing. Nor shall you take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness. They are blood relatives. It is lewdness. You shall not marry a woman in addition to her sister as a rival while she is alive to uncover her nakedness. Also, you shall not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness during her menstrual impurity. You shall not have intercourse with your neighbor's wife to defile her. You shall not give any of your offspring to offer them to Molech. Let me stop there. That's child sacrifice. What did Canaan do? He uncovered some nakedness. What did his ancestors do? They put babies on burning hot altars to offer them to their god. This is the curse, right? This is the prophecy. And it all started with what you see there. Nor shall you proclaim the name of God. I am the Lord. You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination. Also, you shall not have intercourse with any animal to be defiled with it. Nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is a perversion. This is what the Israelites walked into. And the scary thing is, God had to tell them not to do these things. He's like, don't get messed up with this stuff. It's like, that doesn't honor me. 1 Peter 2 says, Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. See, we have to be different than the world. If we're not different than the world, no one's going to tell what Jesus did in our life. We can be a chameleon and blend in. But that's not what God's called us to. He's called us to be his ambassador, to represent him. And that means we need to behave in a way that honors him. And that's what he's asking of his people. And there we get a father's blessing, because there's two sons that did the right thing, right? They covered their father's nakedness. They helped. And you know what? Just like God covered Adam and Eve's nakedness, they covered their father's nakedness. And because of that, their father brings a blessing. Just like God blessed Noah, Noah then returns the blessing to his sons that are faithful to him. And what do we see in Genesis 9? It says, verse 26, he also said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. So again, that's what we see in the history. We see the Israelites taking over Canaan and throwing them out, right? And they should have thrown them completely out, but that's a whole other story. But that's what we see. We see this blessing from God. So there is a blessing that comes from being set apart as God's people. If we allow ourselves to be set apart. But there's also a curse that comes with not following his direction. They have consequences. It hurts us. It hurts our families. It hurts the people around us. And we need to understand that. And in Genesis 9:28, it says, Noah lived 350 years after the flood. So all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. See, Noah, even though he made a mistake, even though, yeah, he sinned, he did follow God. That was a little moment in his life, and he got over that. But he followed God, and that's what the Bible tells us in Hebrews. And because of that, God blessed him with long life. And, you know, the entire world was populated through him. That was God's blessing to him because he was a servant of God. And we can believe that God is going to bless us too. And we might not even see how he's blessing us. We might not comprehend how he's blessing us. But when we get to heaven, we're going to see how he blessed us if we are faithful to him. Okay, so I'm going to look at the questions. If there's no questions, this could be a really short little period. Again, that number should be up there real quick. And again, if there's questions that come in late, that's fine. I can answer them next week. And we'll see what happens there. I do not see any questions. So, guys, that's pretty easy. I must have answered them all. I like that. Okay. If you have any questions during the week about this, or guys, anything in the Genesis series that we've been doing, please let me know so that I can answer these things. Because I know for some of you, you might not have ever looked at it at this level. For some of you guys, you've never looked at the Genesis story, period. For some of you guys, you might be old. You know everything about it in the first place, right? Because you've been in church forever. But I want to encourage you this week to seek God's blessings. Amen. He is faithful. Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessings in our life. I just pray, Lord, that we can value those things over the blessing that the world has for us, that which are not blessings, Lord. They're just things that lead to death. And I just pray, Lord, that we can grab onto you as our Lord, our God, our Father, and trust you with our life. Pray that everybody in this room today just goes out with a new vigor just to follow you and to follow your commands, no matter what they say, as hard as they are or confusing they might be, Lord, just to get that focus in our heads. I pray that you give us the strength and the courage to follow through that, Lord. If there's anybody in here who has not accepted you, Lord, just speak so loudly into their life today that they cannot say no to your Spirit, Lord. And Lord, just convince them that they need you in control. Yes. Because without you, Lord, there is nothing. Love you so much. In Jesus' precious name, ask and pray. Amen. Amen.